May the Lord help each one of us here this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn, please, to the portion that we read in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and really verses 2 to 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And verses 2 to 4. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. We read elsewhere in Scripture that King Solomon wrote, I believe, over 1,005 or somewhere over 1,000 songs. And yet this song is called the Song of Songs. We do not have a record of all the songs, but this song we know is above them all. It is and has historically been viewed from the early church fathers until really the beginning of the 20th century as being that dialogue between the believer and Christ. Therefore, we could see why this is the Song of Songs, the chiefest of songs, and the beauty that is to be traced throughout it in the love of Christ to his church. And yet we are living in an era where many modern commentators will degrade this book to being just a collection of love letters. But as this beautiful book is applied to our hearts, by the power of the Spirit, can we not see within it us? Can we not see the desire that is given to know more and more the love of Christ? Can we not see ourselves later on when we become cold and distant and far off and apathetic? Can we not see scattered throughout these pages your desire tonight? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And I'll be honest with you this evening, I find this book very hard to preach from. I think this is probably only the third time I have preached from it. And, dear friends, it is a book that I need to get more into. And it is probably a book that maybe you need to get more into. Because we, you and I, can become so occupied with everything we have to do. Maybe rightly everything we can do for the church. Me as I preach, you in whatever you may do. And yet what do we need more? We need to know these things personally, don't we? That's what we need. We need to know them within our heart. Yes, we don't just want fluffy feelings. We want something built upon true knowledge. But dear friends, we do need to know this love, don't we? You know, we can know the doctrine of adoption inside out. But what do we need to know? We need to be able to cry, Abba Father, don't we? We may know the doctrine of justification inside out. But what we need to know is the love of Christ to sinners. so that we can say with the lines of the hymn, why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Oh, may the Lord open this portion up to us each this evening, so that we can go home, having been kissed with the kisses of his mouth, going on our way rejoicing, proving that his love is better than wine, having been drawn and therefore running after him. Really comes in, doesn't it, with a desire in that prayer or that first verse of that hymn we've just sung. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and own inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So before we get into these verses more deeply, a little of the background of this book. As I have said, it is the dialogue between Christ and the believer. And this is straight in there, isn't it? This second verse in the desire of the believer. We see almost a distance from the believer to Christ in that third and fourth verse. It is almost as if the believer can smell the savour of thy good ointments, can smell the fragrance of her beloved. But what does the believer desire? To be drawn nearer. And you know, it is almost like us gathering here tonight. We gather, don't we? And we may be able to smell the savour of the gospel. We may know this is where God has come and blessed us in our souls. Where we have tasted, handled and felt of the precious truth of the word of God. But what do we need tonight? To be brought into his chambers. To rest on him. To find comfort in him. So as we go through these verses tonight, may they be a blessing to us. And we'll try and walk through them together tonight. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We as a society and in our culture, we do not kiss one another much. But back in biblical times, there was much kissing. We read it in many places we might try and look at later, the holy kiss and various other kisses. It was basically a greeting. We could say a kiss really would be a sign of affection. It may be a hug to us nowadays. It may be a handshake to us nowadays. It may be the looking upon one another with a look of affection. But when there is that specific love between a husband and a wife, a parent and a child, it signifies something, doesn't it? You may come home to your husband or your wife, and what generally do? You kiss one another. You are entering again into one another's presence. It is a seal, a sign, a token of affection and endearment. That's what the kiss is of Christ is to the believer. That warmness, that inward feeling that he is ours and we are his. And yes, in this life, that marriage bond can be broken through one another's sin, through death. But this bond between Christ and the believer is unbreakable. It's unbreakable, and yet sometimes there is a distance. This is what is being desired here. We need that kiss again. Is that your desire tonight? For a kiss from Christ. The kiss. You may feel to be like the prodigal son this evening. What do we see in that account? You may feel to have backslidden and you know, not be where you once were. Not being in the signs of that first love. You may have gone as far as gone into the journey, into a far country, wasted your substance with riotous living. But what does Christ do to his beloved? He causes a famine. He causes a hunger. He causes a desire for them to return. And what does the believer do? They do return, don't they? They return maybe sheepishly. They return with that confession of sin. But they arise and they go to their Father. And what do they say? I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy to be kissed with the kisses of thy love. But what does the Father say? What does the Heavenly Father say and do? As in with a prodigal son, he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, repenting sinner tonight, we cannot out-sin our Father's love. We cannot. Turn to him again. Run to him. He is merciful, slow to anger. He loves his children. Come, be kissed with the kisses of his love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But as we saw in the account of that prodigal son, the father kissed his son. But do we kiss the Son? Do we kiss Christ, as it were? Do we show that affection to him? And I believe it is, I might not be able to turn to it, I believe it's in one of the early Psalms. We read in there. I can't find it, but we see there, speak there about the kissing of the Son. And dear friends, is that your desire tonight? To show that love to him? Do you come in with the lines of that hymn? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace and his majesty adore. To love him. Because, dear friends, when we are drawn by the Saviour's love, we're no more strangers. There was that time when we were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That is why this season of the year is so precious, isn't it, to those that believe? It is the birth of Christ. Christ Jesus that came, and through his death, perfect life, his death, his crucifixion, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So that we can see the kisses and experience the kisses of his love through him. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Christ Jesus. May we kiss the Son. May we be overwhelmed with affection and love to him, that we are made nigh tonight. Oh, dear friends, you can never exhaust, can you, this love? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We think of the kiss of friendship too, don't we? David and Jonathan were a great example of that. And what does the kiss of friendship show? That we want to be with one another. That's what it showed with David and Jonathan, wasn't it? They were dear to each other. They wanted to be with one another. But don't forget, dear friends, Christ delights to be with his people too. Christ delights in his people. It is something we cannot fathom when we feel to be so undeserving of his love. But it is a fact. It is a truth. We see it in his ministry when he was upon this earth. Just before his great suffering, he desired to eat the Passover. He desired to be with his disciples. And so he desires to be with his people still. It is that friendship shown. And another hymn comes to mind. Christ is the friend of sinners. Be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. Oh, if we could have that kiss of forgiveness tonight. That kiss that he is our friend still. The friend of the sinner. The friend of the sinner. What a thought for you this evening. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Why? For thy love is better than wine. The love of Christ. Thy love is better than wine. My thoughts seem to be in the hymn book tonight. But how often it does come in with the feelings of our heart, doesn't it? What do we have in hymn 535? Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners. Oh, of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Endless love he fixed upon us in eternity that's past. Nor will ever, this is the point, isn't it? Nor will ever take it from us. Endless love shall ever last. Love redeemed us and will ever hold us fast. This is why love is better than wine. Thy love is better than wine. But why is it better? Let us ponder this for a while. Why is his love better than wine? Well, love, wasn't it? Naturally, if it is not abused, which sadly, in so many cases, it is in some ways good for people. And we have many examples in Scripture where we read, for example, in Psalm 104:15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. And with the right use of wine, there can be that which can gladden the heart of man. But dear friends, it's nothing compared to the love of Christ. Because, yes, wine may have an effect upon us, but it will fade. We may not have access to something or other, but Christ's love is unchanging. And the joy in believing in him far surpasses any earthly joy. In Paul, in writing to the Roman church, doesn't he, speaks about that joy. Now the God of hope fill you with what? Something which is better than wine. All joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The love of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit is far better than the effect of any intoxicating substance. In anything that can gladden our hearts and bring us a little joy. And do you know what it is to be in Psalm 23? To be, as it were, full of joy. To say with the psalmist, my cup runneth over. You know, there's only been once or twice in my life where I have been in that place. Where you have maybe sat under the preached word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have said, I'm overflowing with joy. I can't take any more. My cup is running over. This is the effect that the love of Christ can have to the soul. Thy love is better than wine. It fills us with joy. And maybe you have experienced that love. Maybe you've experienced. So therefore, what happens when that love becomes faint? because of your weakness. When that love becomes faint because of your weakness, you mourn over it, don't you? Jeremiah spoke on that. Joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab, and I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting, brought to nothing. Without joy, why? Because God had forsaken them. God had left them to their own case and place. But, dear friends, in the life of the believer, thy love is better than wine. But one final thought on the use of wine. We think of the account of the Good Samaritan. What was used there? It was used as healing, wasn't it? And maybe that's what you need tonight. That wine to be poured in the wounds that are caused by your sinful nature. You need that wine to be poured in to make you right again. That's what that Samaritan did, went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. To know the healing effect of Christ on your soul. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thy love is better than wine. Oh, we could go on. That wine, it strengthens, doesn't it? That's what Christ does to his people. How can you carry on in this life? How can you press onward in your journey that you are called to walk? How? When Christ draws near. And you have to prove again, don't you? I can do all things. How? Through Christ that strengtheneth me. Thy love is better than wine. Let's move on to verse 3. Because of the savour or fragrance of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And is the name of Christ precious to you? You know, the verse that set me free and overwhelmed me was this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And it was the impression of that name upon my heart which came so sweetly to me. What does the name of Jesus mean to you this evening? What does it mean? Can you come in with Newton, which is thought? He penned that beautiful hymn about these first few verses. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Is it sweet tonight? Is it like the fragrance of a precious ointment to you this evening? The name? Does it soothe your sorrows? Does it heal your wounds? Does it drive away your fears? Does it make the wounded spirit whole? Does it calm your troubled breast? Is it manna to your hungry soul? Is it to the weary rest? Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. The savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And what does the name do? What does a fragrance do? It shows us we are near, doesn't it? But what did the believer want to get nearer to? Her beloved. Wasn't content with just the fragrance of the name. Wanted to be brought into the chambers. Wanted to be brought right in. And we often think, don't we, at this season of the year, of those many names that are used to describe Christ. And how great they are. Is one of them particularly special to you? Shepherd, maybe? Or whatever it may be. So many names are used to describe Christ. But as we think of those names, without the power of the Spirit, it is just a name, isn't it? It's just a word. It is really nothing. But as it is made precious to us, it becomes, doesn't it, a real foundation, a name. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. It's just come back to me. I was trying to find a reference a minute ago, but I believe it is in the early part of Isaiah, isn't it, where we have that list of names. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, something which is read often at this time of the year, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is his name wonderful to you this evening? Is he the Prince of Peace to your soul? Is he your all and in all? Is he what you are longing for tonight? Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. That implying the daughters of Jerusalem, which are also described in this Song of Solomon. Those that were with the beloved. And therein don't we have a picture of the church? It's not one person on their own. It is the daughters of Jerusalem. Therefore, do all the Lord's people love thee, because the name is precious. It is a sweet savour to the Lord's people. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. Draw me. Draw me. And I believe that hymn that we just sung just then mentioned that too, didn't it? In that hymn 1075, it said, Lord, draw my heart from earth away and make it only know thy call. Speak to my inmost soul and say, I am thy Saviour God, thy all. O dwell in me, fill all my soul and all my powers. By thine control, draw me. But dear friends, he will draw you. If we are his, he will draw. Why? Because he says, doesn't he? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But the desire of the believer in their right place will be to be drawn nearer and drawn nearer and drawn nearer. You want more, don't you? You want more. It's not greed. It's because of love. You want to know more. Draw me closer. Draw me nearer to thy wounded side. Draw me nearer to the rest there is to be found at the foot of Calvary. Draw me to shelter in that precious sin-atoning blood. Draw me into the perfect place of thy death and resurrection and intercession. Draw me into a closer, deeper, stronger fellowship. But we need to be drawn. And he does draw. And may we pray to be drawn closer. Draw me, and when we are drawn, when our souls are attracted to something, we will run after thee. We know what that is, don't we? With an earthly attraction, whatever it may be, we'll go somewhere to see it, we'll go somewhere to do it, whatever it may be. Do you know what that is with the love of Christ? He draws, he attracts, and we run. But what does it signify, running? An urgency, doesn't it? Have you got that urgency in your soul tonight? That urgency to rest in Christ. We will run after thee. We will. Are we running there? But how do we run? I found this quite interesting in this fourth verse. Draw me, and then we will run after thee. Not draw me and I will run after thee. Doesn't that speak again of the church? We run together, don't we? We run together to the King's chambers. That's the beauty of the church. that encouraging one another, that helping one another in the journey to the King's chambers. Yes, we come and gather in the same building, but we want more than just to gather. We want to run together into the arms of Jesus. We want to run with that urgency, pressing toward the mark, toward the high calling of our God. Draw me, and we will run after thee. But they weren't running in vain, were they? We will run after thee, and then what? Oh, they could get to that point, they were brought to that point where they could no longer just smell the savour of the good ointments. But the King hath brought me into his chambers. Brought into that nearness with him. Brought into that fellowship with Christ. And what does it bring? Gladness and rejoicing in thee. I know there will be those in this chapel tonight who have known that gladness and rejoicing, having been brought into his chambers. We're not always there. We do not always have the desire to be there. But oftentimes, when we are brought there, what does it cause us to do when we are not there? We will remember thy love more than wine. Dear friends, we can look back at those times when we have been into his chambers, when we have known those times of real blessing. We can look back upon them, remember them, and draw comfort from them. And what does it do? It strengthens us. Yes, we want to come into the chambers again. Yes, we want to know that nearness again, but sometimes we can be brought back through the remembrance of it. We will remember thy love more than wine. Wine naturally dulls the senses. Christ's love animates them. Those of you that have known the love of Christ, can you not say, what would you exchange for it this evening? That time when you were truly in the King's chambers, had known the kisses of his mouth, proved that his love was better than wine, what would you swap it for? I hope you would say nothing. Is it a sweet remembrance to you? That love that you remember more than wine, more than anything that this world can offer you. The upright love thee. Or they love thee uprightly, as it could be interpreted. They love in that right way. And look, dear friends, this is the point that we must dwell on as we draw to a close tonight. We must not just love Christ because of what he has done. We must love Christ for who he is. His person as well as his work. His love as well as what he has achieved. His compassion, his kindness, as well as his perfect obedience and death. We will remember thy love more than wine. Well, this book, as we have said, is full of great truth. It's full of an outline of what you or I may be walking through. And dear friends, you can look at this book and you can find more and you can find more and you can find more. There is much that is hard to understand. There is much that uses maybe language that we wouldn't use in this day and age. But there is some sweetness here. There is something precious. And dear friends, may we know more of this love. More of these kisses. More of this precious ointment. More of this drawing. That closer walk with God. That calm, that heavenly frame. That light that shines upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. May we each prove it. Amen.